Luke chapter 21 this morning, Luke 21, and we're coming across a passage here, and we're going to see what the Bible says about sacrificial giving. Luke chapter 21, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites." And so to this day, you know what people say? They say, "Well, I just thought I'd put in my 2 cents worth." Okay? Another thing that comes from the Bible that people didn't know comes from the Bible. Okay, why don't they say, "I want to give you my 3 cents worth," or "Let me give you my dollar's worth"? They say, "Well, let me give you my 2 cents worth." Okay, it's right there in the Bible. So she cast in two mites, verse 3, and he said, Jesus said, "Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury," extreme poverty, "hath cast in all the living that she had." Okay? Let me show you something about the context here and make a couple of comments on these verses, and then as we normally do, I want to run you to about 6 places in your Bible that deals with the same subject we find here, which is sacrificial giving. I think it'll be a help to you. First of all, notice in chapter 20, verse 47, Jesus there, he's warning about the scribes and the religious leaders, and he says, "Watch out for these fellows. They devour widows' houses." They devour widows' houses. Well, that just makes me wonder if this dear lady here who came in chapter 21, you can't help wonder if she's one of those who suffered under the wicked oppression of these religious men who took all of her substance and all of her living, and so that all she had left were 2 little mites. And you can try to figure out what a mite is worth, but that's not going to really be the point. It's you can't really figure it out and try to compare it to today's economy. It wasn't much, okay? that's all you need to know. But notice something here about the Lord Jesus Christ. He watches. He observes. He pays very careful attention to what is given in the offerings of God. He pays very careful attention to it. And he took note here. And then notice the principle here, and this is a great Bible principle, and you can just write this down. It's true of giving money. It's true of giving time or service. It's true of giving your talents or your strengths. Here it is. The Lord does not measure your giving by what you give. He measures your giving by what you have left. I think I put that in your notes. The man that gives $1,000 and still has $10,000 left, what is that to God compared to someone who had 2 pennies but has nothing when they're done? Let me say it again. God does not measure what you give. He measures what you have left after you give. Jesus said, "This woman gave more than they all." Why? Well, they might have given $100 and she only gave 2 mites, the smallest coins that they had at that time. And Jesus didn't measure what they gave. He said when she was done giving, she had nothing left. She gave everything. And so that's why she gave the most that could be given. We've got a preacher down at our church, and he sure can preach out loud and pray. Why, that man can pray till every head is bowed. He visits the sick, makes them all feel grand. He's one fine preacher. He's one fine man. Calls on the neighbors and cheers every soul. But when collecting time comes on Sunday, that's when he goes for the goal. Now one Sunday morning to church we went, and each woman did take her man. And our parson did preach in a voice so loud as only a preacher can. Come time to take up the collection, he called on Sister Jones. Miss Jones, get up and grab the plates. We'll shake down these lazy bones. So the ladies started to pass the plates, but the preacher jumped up and said, there's something I have to tell you all before the Bible is read. There's a certain man sitting here in a pew, and he's doing wrong each day. He drinks bad gin, takes ladies round, and never takes time to pray. Now, if that man doesn't drop a silver dollar into the pan, I shall stand right up in the midst of this church and name that low-down man. So the ladies started to pass the plates again, and the silver dollars hit those pans like rain. When counted up, it was $96 shining up as sin. The preacher said, thanks, all you men. Now let the meeting begin. Every one of them put a silver dollar in because they'd all been up to no good. Now, you know, isn't it a funny thing how people are? We think a little bit of offering, we think a little bit of giving will cover wickedness or will cover our devilment. But that's not the point. You're not paying your way out of trouble when you give. You're not posting bail. You're not trying to bribe a judge. The Bible nowhere teaches that God needs your money. The Bible nowhere teaches that your money will get you anywhere with God in the day of judgment. What the Bible teaches from start to finish is that money does make this world go round. And God gives us money to use and to dispense as we see fit, as we have need. And what the Lord is interested in is how much we love him, how much we care for him, how interested we are in the souls of men. And will we give to God so that souls might be saved and lives might be changed? That's the whole point of the matter. I want to show you some cases in the Bible of this type of giving, sacrificial giving. And I hope you understand, I'm not after your money this morning. God is not after your money. I'm just trying to teach a Bible truth, just trying to lay down something from the Word of God that we can use, and hopefully it'll bring us to examine ourselves and determine the extent to which we love the Lord. You know, Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Okay, turn first of all to Exodus chapter 36. Exodus chapter number 36. I don't see anybody that's here visiting for the first time. But if you are, let me assure you that we're not a church that preaches about money all the time. You can ask anybody. That's just not what we do around here. But whenever the Bible talks about giving, we talk about giving. And we just go right through a book of the Bible, and whatever we hit in the Bible along the way, that's what we deal with. Now, in Exodus chapter 36, they're building a tabernacle here, a sanctuary, a place where the people can come and fellowship together and worship the Lord. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 36, verse number 4, And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came, every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. These people here loved God so much that when it came time to give to the Lord's work, they just started bringing offerings until there was so much that Moses had to command them to say, he had to say, please, you've given enough. You've given more than we know what to do with. You'll just have to quit giving until the time comes that we run short, run out of funds, and then we'll tell you when to start giving again. You say, well, I've never known of a time like that. I've never heard a preacher talk like that. stop giving. You know why? Because you've never been around a group of people that were sold out to God like this group of people were. They said, God wants us to build a tabernacle. God wants us to build a place to fellowship with him. And God said for you people to bring what you will and give what you will for this work of God. And you know what? They loved God. They loved the Lord. They wanted to help. They wanted to do something to further the work of God. And not only did they bring what they had to bring, not only did they bring what they needed to bring, but they brought more than was necessary, insomuch that Moses had to say, stop. We don't know what to do with this money. Now, wouldn't that be something? They didn't have to do it. They were not made to do it. Their lives were not threatened. It wasn't extorted out of them. They just said, God's got a work to do, and it costs money to do God's work. Would you please help? And they loved God and had a heart to give, so they gave sacrificially. They gave more than was necessary. All right, now God, he's sitting up there in heaven. Does God care about money, about dollars or dinars? Does God care about rupees and pesos and euros and offerings? No, he does not. God wants to know if people love him. God wants to know if your heart belongs to him or if it belongs to mammon. And so when the Lord sees somebody who's willingly parting with their hard-earned money for the furtherance of the gospel, that's not about money. It's not about dinars and dollars. It's about loving God more than loving things. I could take that money, I could buy something real nice for myself, something I'd enjoy. I could take that money, get something I really want. Or I could take that money and say, well, God, what I really want is for souls to be saved. What I desire is for the gospel to be furthered. And so, God, I'm going to give it to you. That's what these people did. They had a heart for God. They had a heart to give. Now look in 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings comes after 2 Samuel. Chapter 17. A father got ready to send his son off to Sunday school on a church bus. Because he's like a lot of men. He wasn't interested in church himself or the things of God himself, but he figured his kids might need a little religion growing up. So he put his son on the church bus, sent him off to church. He gave his boy $1. And he gave him a 50-cent piece, half a dollar. And he said, now, son, when you get to church and they send the offering plate around, you put the dollar in the offering plate, and then you can You can keep that 50 cents and buy yourself an ice cream after church. And so the boy went off to church, and then he came home because they dropped him off on the bus, and Daddy took him out to get some ice cream, and the boy reached in his pocket and pulled out the dollar bill that his father gave him. Dad says, "Now, son, you were supposed to give the dollar at church and keep the 50 cents for ice cream." Boy said, "Well, Dad, I was going to, but the preacher this morning, he was preaching about the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And, well, I was just a lot more cheerful giving the 50 cents than I was the dollar." Now, you know why people don't give a whole lot? Because it doesn't cheer their heart to give a whole lot to God. It cheers their hearts to hold on to it. What does that mean? Listen, like I said, this is not about money. I'll just keep saying it as we go through here. This is not about money. But when it thrills your heart to give to yourself, but it grieves your heart to give up to God, that shows something about you. That shows you love yourself more than you love God. And that's why God asks his people to give, not because he wants money or needs money. God doesn't need it. He just wants to see where your heart is. He wants to see what's important to you. You know, we think about it. We say, "Well, thank God I'm not in those Old Testament days when they had to offer those sacrifices and everything." And I don't know about you, I agree. I am thankful for that. Because have you ever priced a good bullock lately without spot or blemish? That's going to cost you some money. It'll cost you some serious money. You say, "Well, if I wasn't rich, God wouldn't require that." No, yeah, he'd let you bring a sheep or a lamb or a ram without spot or blemish, by the way. Which for a middle class man, it would be just as expensive as an ox or a bullock for the upper class man. So, well, what if I was real poor? Then you could bring a lesser offering. But in every instance, the picture is the same. God says, "I demand that you bring me a what? A sacrifice." He didn't call those offerings. He called them sacrifices because it was going to cost you dearly to worship God in that way. We stand and we say, "Thank God I'm free. Jesus Christ is my sacrifice. Jesus Christ is my payment. I don't have to offer a sacrifice to God. I'm free." And you're absolutely right. You can go to heaven and it'll never cost you one ruble. You can never put anything in an offering plate anywhere, and you can go to heaven through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it sure doesn't say much about our appreciation. It sure doesn't say much about our thankfulness. We'll just take it and run. No, sir. If those people who had no assurance of salvation in the Old Testament, no hope of eternal life, if they could give sacrificially, how much more those of us who have already been promised a mansion in heaven and a street of gold and eternal everlasting life with all of our needs provided, not only in eternity but in the here and now. Amen. Those people in Old Testament times, they needed everything they could get their hands on. The Bible tells me, "God shall supply all my needs." Look in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. This is a widow woman, and there's a famine in the land because of a drought. Water is gone, food is gone, money's gone. And in verse number 8, 1 Kings 17, verse 8, God speaks to Elijah the prophet. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. I have not a cake. As sure as there's a God in heaven, I don't have a cake. But an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks. Did you ever cook outside on a fire? Let me tell you something. If you're cooking your dinner with two sticks, that means you don't have much to eat. You don't have much food to eat if you can cook your dinner with two sticks. She said, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. They are dying of starvation. All they've got left is enough to make one little tiny half biscuit. It's all they've got left. Verse 13, And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So again, I'll say it again, this is not about money. This is about God. This is about provision. This woman, she said, I've got enough left to eat one little meal, and then I'm going to die. Elijah said, God's got enough left in heaven to feed you all the days of your life. If you'll put God first, the ministry of God first, give to God's man and God's preacher first, God will give to you enough to last you all the days of your life. And we go through life and we count our pennies and we say, I'd like to give to God, but if I give to God, I couldn't make it. The Lord says, hey, I am the provider. I'm your provider. I'm your supply. You just put me first. You honor me with your sacrifice, and I will take care of you. Let me tell you something. There's a famine coming. If you're an American living in America, you might not believe that, but they're going to believe it. They'll believe it before God's through. You know, you used to be able to drive down the freeways of Florida and see orange groves everywhere you looked. Now you'd be lucky if you can find even one. So what happened? The breath of Almighty God blew upon them. The frost and the ice from God's storehouse in heaven blew upon those things, and they're gone. And then in California and Colorado, they're rationing water, and the forests are all burning away. Say, why? Because they're living in wicked sin. That's why. It's God's judgment. God's drying up the crops, drying up the forests. He said, I don't understand why America keeps giving monies to so many countries and forgiving their debts and letting Iran extort $400 million cash from them and letting the world bankrupt them. I don't see why America would do that. I'll tell you why, because America's getting their food from these other countries. They get their vegetables and fruit from South America and other parts of the world. You say, why? Why is America having to import food? Because the hand of God is on that nation, and it's going to get worse, a lot worse. Let me tell you something. This woman right here, she was living in famine times. She was living in starving times. You read the book of 1 Kings. It was a long time before the rain fell and the drought ended and the famine broke. A long time. But she had food aplenty every single day. She didn't have to give. She could have eaten her last meal all to herself and died. She didn't have to give. But that sacrificial giving resulted in length of days and blessing of life. Amen. See, well, I don't see why God wants me to give. I don't see why I have to give to the Lord. You don't have to. But you know something? God may have a blessing. God may have a provision. God may have a reward that he wants to bestow upon you, and he's just waiting to see if you are of such a heart and of such a character as to merit those blessings. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. And this has to do with covetousness, by the way. You probably figured that out. People who are covetous, they might like to hear the preacher preach, but you'll notice they always seem to make sure to get to church after they know the offering has already been taken. But they don't want to contribute anything towards it. I mean, you know what they want? They want all of the blessings of God. They want all the blessings, but they don't want to give anything towards getting those blessings. They want a nice church, nice comfortable place to sit in the church, good songbook. They want a preacher who's on call whenever they need him, whenever they want him. They want to hear about souls being saved all around the world as a result of the ministry of that church. They want to be a part of a church like that, but they don't want to contribute even 50 cents to make it possible. You know what that is? That's covetousness. And that will cut you off from blessings. You know, two women were sewing with thread and needle one afternoon, and they were mending their husband's trousers. And one of the women said, you know, isn't it just wonderful how things are going in church? Boy, it just seems like God is really blessing. The Holy Spirit seems to be moving. Seems like every time we're there, the fire of God just sweeps through that place. The other woman looked at her and said, that's strange you should say that. Because to me, it just seems so cold and so dead there in the church. I've been going there, but honestly, I don't get anything out of it. And the preaching seems dull to me. I don't see where you get the idea that things are going so well. Well, that woman was sewing the rear end on her husband's trousers. The other woman was sewing patches on the knees of her husband's trousers. So you understand, you get out of something what you put into it. If you put your heart into church, God will fill your heart. If you put your behind into it and nothing else, God's just going to kick you in the behind, and that's all you're going to get. Amen. You don't have to give. But Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you find yourself giving sacrificially to the work of God, you won't be out there chasing the things of the world. You'll be sticking around making sure God's work gets done. because you have got an investment in it. Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26, verse number 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." Boy, doesn't that shoot down all this modern slop you're getting nowadays. You know what Jesus said? He said, "Get out of that church that's spending money on social programs." He said, "Get out of that church that's trying to feed the world and feed the hungry and house the homeless." He said, "You get into a church that's using their money and using their goods for me." How do you like that? You say, "That church down there, boy, that church, they really like, I like that church because they're really concerned about the underprivileged." Well, so are we. So are we. We tell them about heaven. Okay? We tell them about getting born again. You know what we know? We know that you're never going to get rid of poor people off of the face of this earth. That's what Jesus said. Amen. I mean, you give those people money, they'll just go down and drink it up like they drank up the last $20 you gave them. If you give those people money, they'll just go down and buy cigarettes with it. They won't buy groceries. If you go buy them groceries, they'll just eat them, and then they'll still be in the same mess they were in before. Listen, a man that is in trouble, he got that way because of wrong living. So you don't give him money and pat him on the back so that he can keep on living wrong. You give him the gospel so he can learn how to live right. Amen. These disciples, they said, "Look at this waste." You know why they were concerned? They said, "This could have been sold for much money. That was worth a lot what she did." And what did she do? She just poured it out on Jesus Christ. And you know, once she did that, it wasn't worth anything anymore. It was all used up. It was all spent. It was all gone. It was a sacrifice. You know good and well when Jesus left that house, she didn't go back in there, start scraping it back up into a container so that she could take some home for herself. You know that's what you're getting, though, nowadays in churches. Come give to God. Come plant your seed faith. You give God a dollar. God, he's just so silly, he'll give you $10 back for your $1. He won't know any better. Well, you can trick God into making you rich. Listen, you know she didn't pour out this ointment in the hopes of scraping up a little more on the other side of that thing. She just poured it out on Jesus, knowing that it was gone, and that was it. That was the end of it. She just wanted to show her love and her worship for God. That's why she gave it. And Jesus saw that. Now, I'll say it again. This is not about money. This is about the heart. Did Jesus need that precious ointment? I mean, think about it. Every spice plant in the world, every tree that bears some kind of perfume in this world belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't need that box of precious ointment. But oh, how it thrilled his heart to receive that worship and that adoration from that dear woman. Amen. Look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter number 4. The Lord recorded in the case of this woman, not what she gave, but what she had left. Her heart condition. One time, after a charity sermon in Edinburgh, UK, a man in the congregation by accident put a crown piece in the offering plate instead of a penny. In case you're wondering, that's 60 times more than what he meant to put in there. 60 times more. So when he looked down and saw what he'd done, he was shocked. He asked the man passing the plate if he could grab it back, and the fellow passing the offering plate said, "No, sir, once in forever." And that man right in the middle of church, he said, "You crook, I'll get credit for it in heaven." And the man passing the plate said, "No, you won't. You'll get credit for what you wanted to give. You'll get credit for a penny." See, he meant to give a penny. That's all he wanted to give. And that's fine. He didn't have to give any more, but when he gave more by accident, but coveted all but what he wanted to give, the fellow wisely said, "No, you get credit in heaven for what you gave in your heart. The rest of it's out the window, as far as you're concerned." Now listen, this giving because I had to keep my pledge, forget it. This giving because I was going to get taken off the church roll if I didn't pay up, forget that stuff. This giving because I thought God would give me more in return. See, still, that's covetousness. It's extortion, but it certainly is not giving from the heart to God. What you get credit for in heaven is what you abandon, what you sacrificially give away to the Lord Jesus Christ. A preacher was out, and a fellow he was talking to at the door said, "No, sir, I don't want anything to do with any of that church stuff. I don't even want to talk about it." The preacher said, "Why not?" He said, "Bunch of crooks in the church. All they want is your money." Preacher said, "Yeah, that's about right, by and large. But you can't say they're all that way because it's not true. There are a lot of men that are still true to the Word of God." And he said, "Let me tell you something." That this man, he said, "I moved to this town from Ohio. And I went over here down the street, tried to join the Lutheran church because that's what I am. All my people are Lutheran." And he said, I wanted to join that Lutheran church. He said, "You know what that man did in there? He called the church in Ohio that I was a member of before I quit going to church about 15 years ago. And he called me into his study to talk to me about joining the church. And he presented me with a bill for back tithes for the 15 years that I hadn't been in church." He said, "What do you think about that, preacher?" Preacher said, "How did you stop yourself from punching him in the nose?" "I don't understand that kind of stuff, but that's true stuff. That stuff goes on all the time in any town. They're all about the money. And that's why a lot of people don't go to church. That's the impression they've got." And listen, there's people that stopped going to church years ago, but their church still keeps mailing them their offering envelopes. They don't care if those people live or die. They don't care if they're right with God or not. They don't care if they're going to heaven or hell. They just want that tithe to come in that envelope in the mail. You know what that is? That's a bunch of rubbish. That's all it is. People think they're going to get into heaven by giving God a little tip. Like the mission bum who dropped a quarter in the offering plate and his buddy next to him said, "Well, man, what's gotten into you? All you ever gave was a dime before." And that bum said, "Well, if God's as good as that preacher says he is, he deserves a raise." You know what? There's a lot of truth to that. If God is as good as the Bible says he is, if God is as good as he has proved himself to be in our lives, he deserves a raise. Look in Acts chapter 4. The early church here. Acts 4:32. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." So you know what these people did in the early church? They said, "Hey, none of the stuff I have is my own. It belongs to God." And then they proved it. Verse 33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." Now, did they have to do that? No, they didn't have to do that. They were not commanded to do that. The Lord didn't tell them to do that. They just believed that Jesus was coming soon, that the most important thing in the world was getting the word of God out, and so they gave everything they could. They even went beyond and gave more than what they could so that the word of God could spread and prosper. Today you hear these fellows, they get up and they say, "We're an apostolic New Testament church." You are. Okay, ask them, "Where's your house?" And if they tell you, then they're not an apostolic New Testament church. Those people sold their houses and lands, gave everything they had away to get the word of God out. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. The Bible does not command you to do that. But we want the Holy Ghost to move like he did in the book of Acts. But there were some reasons for it. And they were not money reasons. They were heart reasons. This isn't about money. It's about the heart. Look in verse 36. "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Well, most of you remember what happens in chapter 5. We studied it not too long ago. Ananias and Sapphira come in to the church, and they just want to put on a good show for everybody. They said, "Well, we sold land and we gave too." "Well, how much did you get for that land?" "We got $40,000. "Oh, that's good. Yes, and we want to give all $40,000. We just want everybody to know that this is our memorial gift. And so we'd like you to publish this in your newsletter next month. And We want you to be sure and put our name on the end of a pew somewhere so that everybody can know we gave this $40,000. That's the kind of thing you're seeing in churches today. And so Peter said, you sure you sold that land for $40,000? And Ananias crossed his fingers behind his back and said, yep, $40,000. Well, God knew that he had sold it for $80,000. So Peter said, you're lying to God. God dropped him dead right there on the spot. They wrapped him up, carried him out, buried him. A little while later, Sapphira came in, and she said, I'm here to bring some money to the church. Oh, yeah? Yeah, we sold that travel trailer we had and sold our boat and got a good price for him, got $10,000. Peter said, really? She said, yeah, we got $10,000 to give to the church. All we want is a stained glass window on the east side of the church with our name inscribed on it on the bottom. So every Sabbath morning when the sun comes up, the sun can shine through our stained glass window so everybody can see that that's our memorial window. And remember, we gave. Peter said, well, that's all right. I guess that's possible. But tell me something, sister. Are you sure that's what you sold that stuff for? $10,000? And she crossed her fingers, put them behind her back, and said, oh, yeah, $10,000. Peter said, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. Your husband tried the same trick. She said, oh, yeah? Well, where is he? He's out there back in the back in the graveyard where you're headed. Bam! She dropped dead. God dropped her dead right there on the spot. Now listen, it was not wrong to keep that money. They didn't have to sell anything, in fact. They didn't have to give anything. But when their giving became a matter of show and pride and falsehood, God wasn't going to have anything to do with that kind of stuff. Amen. Now, if you never give a dinar, or you give 99 dinars out of every 100 that you make, you give them to God. Don't make a show out of it. If you want to send money to support a ministry that's doing something for God, do it without any expectations from that ministry. They may not even send you so much as a thank you note. That would cost money to do that. Are you going to get mad and write them a nasty letter because they didn't acknowledge your generosity? Well, who were you giving to? If you were giving to God, he knows about it. Isn't that good enough? If you were giving to be recognized by men, then when you don't get the recognition that you so desperately hoped for, all you're going to get for your effort is sore disappointment. You know what these people did in the early church? They gave sacrificially because they loved God, not because somebody was threatening or conning or bribing or twisting. They loved God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, back in the middle part of the last millennium, the Papa sent some of his armies over to raid Mexico. He had sent some boys out exploring to claim North and South America for the Pope. And they got word that there was some gold down there in South America, so Papa, in the name of Jesus Christ, loaded up his soldiers with all kinds of weapons, and they went over to kill everybody they could and get the gold. You know, in God's name, of course. And the Spaniards went over there, and they got fooling around with those Aztecs in Mexico. And they found out they'd gotten into more than they bargained for. They may not have had the finest military equipment in the world, but they knew how to fight. And more than once, they'd put those Spaniards on the run. And there was one incident when they came to this great river, and the Spaniards had a choice to make. Because they were all loaded down with gold that they took from a city that they had just raided. They stole it. And a lot of them couldn't bear to part with that gold. They didn't want to leave the gold behind, so they jumped in the river and tried to swim across with their pockets and bags full of gold. And they just sank right to the bottom and drowned. And the ones that dumped the gold dumped it out on the riverside. And then they plunged in and they were able to swim to safety. And there's a lesson there for God's people. You can't take that stuff with you. But you know what the Bible says? That covetous men have drowned themselves in sorrow and perdition and gotten unto themselves many a hurtful snare by coveting, by being covetous. You know, you'd be better off parting with that stuff and living than hanging on to it and die. You'd be surprised at how many people are in jail right now that wouldn't be in jail if they hadn't desired money. Or they're strung out on dope, or they're drunkards, or whatever it might be. You know what the Bible says? The love of money is the root of all evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the churches of their liberality. Abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, please, please, please take this, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So you know what he said there? These churches at Macedonia, they didn't just give what they had the power to give. They didn't just give what they were able to give. They gave beyond their power. They gave beyond their ability. And what did the Bible call that? What did the Holy Spirit move the Apostle Paul to call it? The fellowship of the ministry. The fellowship of the ministry. What does that mean? Well, it's real simple. If you were here with us Monday night, we read a letter from Brother Dobbins in Zambia. He talked about some people that received booklets, some that received gospel tracts, some that he witnessed to. Some of them got saved through the preaching of the gospel. Well, how was all that possible? Because somebody in Kuwait, among others in the United States, gave money to help him back over there and to keep him there. There's a fellowship of the ministry. Then there's Brother Farnham. He's ministering in India and now also in Sri Lanka. He's training up a bunch of preachers everywhere he goes, providing temporal needs to the elderly and the diseased and the poor. But not without preaching the gospel, not without giving out Bibles and tracts and other materials. How did Mark get over there to give them the Word of God? People over here, people in other places, believers in Christ, they joined hands to help finance that work to get him over there. There's a fellowship in the ministry, and all share alike in the reward. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? But how shall they preach except they be sent? Fellowship. It's called the fellowship of the ministry. Let's look at one more verse, one you may not expect. John chapter 3. But you do know this verse. John chapter 3, sacrificial giving. Verse 16, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not about money. It's about the heart. It's not about money. It's about love. God gave his Son. Did he have to? No. Was he forced to? No. Did anybody command him to do so? You know they didn't. Why did God give his only begotten Son? Because he loved me. Why did the church at Macedonia give sacrificially? Because they loved the souls of men. Why did the church in Acts chapter 4 give sacrificially? Because they loved the souls of men. Why did the woman in Matthew 26 give sacrificially? She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did the woman in 1 Kings 17 give sacrificially? She loved the minister of God. Why did the people in Exodus 36 give sacrificially? They loved the work of God. It's not about money. It's about the heart. And so God help us to do more than say we love the Lord. God help us to show it by giving of our time, of our strength, of our energies, our talents, our abilities, whatever the Lord has brought into our hands and enabled us to do. Let's use it as a testimony of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this lesson today. Help us, Lord, to examine our own hearts and to see and ask ourselves, why do we give? And do we love you enough? And are we covetous at all? Are we trying to serve God and mammon? Lord, help us to correct whatever needs to be corrected in that, and that we may love you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and let our lives be a testimony of that fact. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.